Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
I mean, we just want to thank the band. They've been here from before 4 o'clock already, it seems. Hey, we really appreciate you all, Richard. Thank you for your hard work and your practicing and all that stuff during the week. Some of us just walk into church. Let's give them a round of applause and we thank them. Amen. We're going to give you an opportunity to give to God. Just look like we are many people in this place. Okay, is that all right? Is that Ryan sitting over there? Tripto. Hi, hi. How are you? You're back from what island? Oh, Cayman Islands. Okay, while we're going to take up the offering, Luan and Louisa is going to just share quick testimonies of what they've experienced in missions, being there in the mountains of India and Nepal and the border of China. And they just want to share with us. Luan is in Belarus in matric. So, and Louisa is first year medical student in Tigerberg. So come, Luan.
Hello, everyone. I'm Luan. And I just quickly want to share to you guys how great our God is and that we are serving a living God and a God that heals. That's not a testimony, but that's the truth, yes. I was privileged to be part of a mission team that went to India. I have three minutes, so I must speak quickly. And we, at the last village, we didn't have any plans to minister that night, but God had plans for us, and God had a place. He just took us to a place. Pastor Chuba, the pastor who went with us, a guy came to speak to him and invited us to his house, which is quite funny, because not some guy of that place will invite you to his house. So we went to his house, the whole mission team, we shared the gospel with them, and they were very welcoming, and shared the gospel with them, and we praised and worshiped with them, and we just went to be God's hands and feet. After we ministered and after we worshipped, the father of the family told us about his daughter who had such kind of weird sickness in her hands, and when she touched water, her hands turned blue or purple, like Barney purple. You know Barney, her hands turn like purple, and she loses all the feeling in her fingers, and her fingers will start to swell up, and it was just not good. I don't know the medical term of this sickness. They've told me the medical term like before the sermon, but I forgot it now. But it is a severe sickness, autoimmune disease. There is it, and then it's a okay. So we prayed on a more serious note. They prayed for her, and she got healed right there. God healed her right there, which was so cool because those people, they are Indian, and they believe in a lot of gods, and God just came and showed those people how great he is, and that he is the only living God. And that whole family came to salvation after God healed that woman. And that woman was so surprised, the girl was so surprised after God healed her. She was like testing her hands in the water the whole time, and looking just, is it going to turn purple now again? But her hands just started like a warm feeling. But nothing purple anymore. Or the sickness was gone. And we all were just in tears praising God, which is very cool. So yeah, that's the testimony. And Louiso is going to share another one.
Yes, it was really cool. The sickness is Sjögren's syndrome. If there's any techies out there, that's the name for it. And it's really cool because God like had to change her like whole immune system in like 2 seconds. It's amazing. So another testimony what happened was there was this guy. I think the picture is the other picture of the guy. His name is Subelal, I think. I'm not sure. That guy there is smiling because Jesus touched his life. What happened was when he was in grade 8, he fell into the river while going to school. And he was paralyzed from his pelvis, like downwards. He couldn't walk for, I'm not sure how old he was now, but it's about for 10 to 20 years, he couldn't walk at all. He was confined to on the floor. We went to him the first night. We were at this first village, or the second village. And we were there. We were showing the Jesus film earlier, and we were praying for him for quite a while. And then we decided, okay, so we tried walking with him. So we helped him to stand up, okay, after not being able to walk with, like, I mean, if you haven't walked for, like, 10 to 20 years, you don't have muscles and everything is all skew and stuff, but God aligned his built muscles there and aligned bones and ligaments and stuff. And like the first night, like with very, very slow steps, like one guy had him under the elbow and like at the arm and he like went like this, and he started like walking very, very slowly at first. And then the next day we went to his house again. We prayed there with him again. And he said, no, but I want to try. Out of himself, we didn't even ask him if he want to start, try and walk again. And he's like, no, I want to try and walk again. And he like stood up. We didn't even help him then. He just pushed off against the railing of his house. And like holding onto the railing, he started walking up and down, like once or twice. And then he went out of his house and we walked up like these steps and stuff. And like as he was walking, his steps grew stronger and stronger and stronger. At the end of the day, like he walked upstep with help. Like one guy each side, his balance was a bit off. He was falling forward and backwards and stuff. But amazing healing happened in his body. I'm like, I don't really know anything medically, even though I study it yet. I'm like first year, but it's not. You're not supposed to be able to like walk after like laying down for 10 years. It's not supposed to happen. But Jesus did say to the layman, stand up and walk. And we were witness of that. So we just came to share the testimony as encouragement. Cool.
I think we can see on his smile that he could walk again. I mean, turn to your neighbor and say, God is good. Sure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Now, there's many people showing me signs from the front. I'm trying to discern what all the signs are. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. And even if we're few, it's not about numbers, but our hearts that are turned to you. And thank you, Lord, tonight for your freedom. Thank you, Jesus, that the cross is sufficient for us. Thank you, God, that you have given us this ability to know you through the cross, through the blood of Jesus. And tonight we open up our hearts to you. We render our hearts and not our garments, Lord. We've not come here to be religious. We've not come here to sing nice songs. We've come here to meet with you. And thank you, God, that you are here. You are our Father. And we have this freedom to call you Abba, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the breath of God. That you, Lord, bring a freedom in us, because it's for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. There where the Lord is, there is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we bless you for that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to speak about, I once was blind. Now, if you want to get, this is the second part of a two-part sermon. The first part I preached around, 8,000 kilometers away from here, up in the north of India, in Dehradun, in a church there, in the Naga Fellowship. So if you want to have the first part, you need to go there. But you are privileged to receive the second part, okay? Because scripture is all, you know, it's for everybody. And I spoke there about the fact it's a church that also has lots of students that send them out all across the world, and that we've been building relationship with in the Himalayas for a couple of years now. And it's amazing to see that the principles of the kingdom and of the gospel is very simple. It's, you know, Angus always says, let your main thing be your main thing. You know, sometimes we get so complicated. Sometimes we try to overcomplicate the gospel. And there are great stuff when we need to learn a lot. There are doctrines and we go to Bible school. It is so important that we get equipped in doctrines and knowing the truth. But you know, one of the greatest abilities that we have as the human race is the ability to see and the ability to hear, the ability to taste, the ability to know. If you and I would be blind tonight physically, we would sort of have a different perception or a different way of living. If we couldn't hear, then we would adopt ourselves, because I think there were a lot of stuff. If we couldn't smell that in the natural, if those senses were not there, we would have sort of been robbed in a sense of a lot of things in our lives. But you know, yet we are satisfied to have these things in the natural, but sometimes in the spiritual we realize and don't realize that God wants to give us that ability and the simplicity of knowing and experiencing God in the spiritual realm is so important. So your ability to see spiritual stuff and to see God and to hear spiritually His voice and to know God, to even smell, Scripture says, to even taste of the goodness of God. That is so important that we maintain those basic abilities of our spiritual walk. Because Paul writes it many times and he says, walk in the Spirit, don't walk in the flesh. You know, learn to walk and maintain and master the spiritual life. But you and I need to know that there's a contention for you and I for that ability to see. And unfortunately, even for the church as a whole, we are already in the middle of a dark time in the church where there's not a lot of revelation. And a revelation means just ability, the ability to see, the vision, the ability to know what God is doing. And so you see a lot of people taking the Bible and they're changing the Bible and they say, no, the Bible isn't, you know, it was a sort of Genesis, was just a figment of your imagination. It was just a story God told, and then they changed. And so suddenly people are beginning to tear pages out of the Bible. People are beginning to preach different gospels. People are beginning to say a lot of stuff. But I want to speak about this thing. You know, we have a song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Thank you for your enthusiasm over there. Okay, so thank you. We're going to sing that song, Richard. Where's Richard? Listen to this in John chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Therefore the Jews sought to all the more to kill him, that's Jesus, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. It's that moment when there's a bit of tension, and there's a bit of, you know, some people are really beginning to lose it, because now Jesus is beginning to make some claims concerning himself as the Messiah. And if you go and study, there's a lot of very radical things Jesus said. 7 times he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the shepherd. I'm the door. I'm the resurrection. We call it the 7 I am sayings. We made declaration as to who he was. And then later on the cross, he also said very profound things. And yet here's a situation where there was a lot of pressure on Jesus to conform to the culture of the day, or the pressures of the day. Now, the first sermon went around this, that there were a lot of pressure from the Jews for Jesus to be a specific type of Messiah, a Messiah that would release them from the oppression of the Roman Empire, and a Messiah that would come to redeem them, that would reign physically on the earth. So there was a massive contention, and even his own disciples, I think that was one of the reasons why Judas betrayed Jesus, is because he started to realize, but Jesus is not going to go to reign the Romans anymore. Jesus is going to go to the cross. So then Judas decided, I'm going to take what I can get out of this situation, because obviously Jesus is not the type of guy that I want to run around with anymore. You know, and lots of them, even sometimes they wanted to make Jesus a physical king over the Israelites, over the Jews in that day. And here we have this situation, and Jesus says the most profound things, you know. And I want us to read it slowly again, because he says, as the Jews wanted to kill him, they were really tense with him, because now suddenly he started to break the rules. He started to break their religion, their culture of the day. And he says, he only not broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. And then Jesus answered, and I love the way Jesus answers, you know. He answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. I want us to learn from the words of Jesus, and we're going to try to keep it simple tonight. But, you know, nothing, you and I need to know this, and this is probably one of the things we forget so quickly. We forget that we can do nothing without God. If that is your motto in life, you're going to finish the race strong with Jesus, with the Father. If you realize every day when you wake up, I can do nothing of myself and in myself. Do you know you don't decide when you're going to breathe and when you're not going to breathe? It actually just happens. But you know what Scripture says? It's the Word of God that makes you breathe. You and I don't make the sun come up. God does. God maintains and sustains the universe by His Word. And so Jesus says this: without God, the Son in Himself can do nothing. But what he does, he does it in this ability because he can see what the Father is doing. He says, because he knows, because he sees what the Father is doing, whatever the Father does, he also does in like manner. So it's talking about this relationship that Jesus had with the Father of obedience, of walking in God's will, of knowing what his heart is. And do you know what? Sometimes, especially if you come in a South African culture, our South African culture is very negative. Did you know that? We always know what we're against. We always know what's going wrong. I just wish all South Africans would go to India for a month. Go up into the valleys. Go there where we were. There were no electricity for 8 days. There were no cell phones. There were no toilets, you know. Back to basics. You know, when you come back and you sit on the toilet in South Africa, you think like, hallelujah, Jesus, flushing toilet, hallelujah. You know, there's so many things you can be thankful for when you come back, you know. But you know, oh, we always know if there's something going wrong. We always know what's wrong. But you know, if you have that attitude in life, you're going to get into trouble. Because as a Christian, you're not going to be able to see. I love what the angels sing. The angels sing, the whole earth is full of His glory. That's what they see when they see God. When they see, look at the earth and they see who God is, then do you know what they say? The whole earth is full of His glory. What do you see as a Christian? Do you see God? Do you see what He's doing? Or do you and I just see the negative of our circumstances, of our nation? And then we fall into this trap of becoming accusers. We don't actually know it, how many times we align ourselves with the devil, because we start to accuse God of that He's not good. We start to accuse each other, and then we start to accuse ourselves. We allow the accuser to come and speak negative stuff, and then we start to believe it. And then we become unbelieving believers. I hope you're not an unbelieving believer, but I believe what the Word says, the good parts and the bad parts. Because there's some nasty scriptures in there that I don't like. Every time I read that scripture, it feels like, no, Lord, why do you say it like that? If you want to come to me, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Something must die. Huh, Lawson? Something must die. Do you know what must die? You! Turn to your neighbor and say, you! Yeah? Your own worst, some of you enjoy that wholly too much, you know. Like, you, yeah, you know, you're going to need to repent later. But in any case, so he comes to this place and he says, whatever he does, and then he says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. It is so important if we talk about this ability to see the place out of which we see, if you don't see the fact, firstly, that God loves you, the Father loves the Son. If you don't know that tonight, you are always going to see the negative. You're always going to try to fix yourself. You're always going to try so hard to perform or strive. But Jesus says, what does he see? The first thing that he sees is he sees the Father loves the Son. I just love that. He experiences God's goodness and his love. He loves the Son. And shows him all things that he himself does. It means that God is doing things and now he shows him that. You know, I don't know of you, but sometimes I have this mentality, and that's just between the two of us. So don't tell anybody else. It's just between the two of us. I have this way of thinking that God really needs me. Yeah, that sort of, oh, you know, I have to beg God to come and do something. But that's not really scriptural. Oh, God, please, please save my family. Oh, Lord, if you know, what must I do? And except of God, what are you doing? I want to align myself to see what you are doing so that I can come into your rhythms, into your kingdom. Because too much focus is on ourselves. And this is what God, what Jesus says, I see that the Father, the Son knows. The Son knows that the Father loves him, and he shows him all things that he's busy doing. And that's so amazing about being part of the gospel and the kingdom of God is always moving. God is always at work. You know, Luan told this testimony, but as we went to this last village, we walked up there, and so I spoke to the pastor, and I didn't actually speak to the team, and I said to him, okay, and he said, but we must do an outreach because we are at this last village and we'd have no contacts. And so we just stopped at a moment. We said, okay, God, whatever you're doing, we want to be part of that. And so as we're sitting there, we're busy eating and there are lots of flies and everybody's a bit irritated because we just walked for 13 kilometers in the Himalayas and it's not like nice kilometers. It's like, you know, it's a bit altitude, 3,600 meters above sea level. So it's not a brisk walk through the meadows of the mealy fields looking and enjoying life, you know. It's like a walk with a 20 kilogram bag on your back, you know. And so as we got there, you're a bit tired and you sort of think like, oh, what are we going to do? And then this pastor begins to talk to somebody that is on his way to go and buy medicine for his daughter. And then suddenly the divine appointment is there. And so now we're standing and the guy's inviting us to his house. But the house isn't like just around the corner. The house is about 2 kilometers up that hill that we just, yeah. So here we go up again, you know. And so we got there and then suddenly just know God has been at work in this family. And they've been trying for many years to get a breakthrough in this family, but they knew nobody in this village. But just suddenly we knew God is at work. While we're there, another guy comes, him and his friend comes and says, hey, we're on our way to our house. Come to and pray at our house as well. As we get there, that guy takes out a Bible and he's sitting there and we pray for him and his wife. And God gives us words of knowledge and we pray and we realize, wow, God, suddenly the door is just opening wide. Because you've been working in this village long before. This guy's got a Bible. And now he just wants to know, how do I read this thing? What's happening? Who's this man of this Bible? Yeah? And they give their hearts to the Lord. Two families within 20 minutes. And we say, Lord, I love it when God's plan comes together. Don't you know, and say, hey, love it when God's plan comes together. Okay. And so... So God says, Jesus says, and he will show him greater things so that you will marvel. You know, the ability to see and spiritual sight is so important. Because the days we are going in, you know, God says in Isaiah, when Isaiah prophesied, he says, arise and shine for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Although deep darkness may cover the earth, the Lord's light will shine over you. The ability to have light, the ability to see, the ability to walk. And so very important to us, and so many people, especially in the charismatic church, I get a bit, just a bit tense when I see so many people run after experiences. So it is great that we share the testimonies of the miracles because that's amazing. People's lives change. But the amazing thing is the Word of God is eternal. A miracle is not eternal. That person that received that miracle is still going to die physically. The Word of God is eternal. And so it is so important for us, if we want to unlock into the fullness of God, we want to see the fullness of God, people, you need to love Scripture. You need to study Scripture. You need to know, because that is God's primary way of revealing who He is. You need to be in love with Scripture. You need to study Scripture. You need to memorize Scripture, the Word of God. Scripture says in 1 John, it says that there was the Father, the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't say the Son, it says the Word. John chapter 1 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Came to tabernacle among us. You're funny in front, yeah. Okay, so listen to this. 1 Corinthians, are you still excited to be here? Some of you are like oh, up there. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 12. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He says, well, those people were blind because they didn't know who Jesus was. They couldn't see. And verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who loved him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. If you and I don't wake up every morning with an excitement and say, God, that is true. My physical eye cannot see, my ear cannot hear, you know, in the natural. But Lord, there's something more. God, you've prepared stuff for us. The mysteries of God, the mystery of the ages, what is Christ crucified, is God, is who God is. And so there's this thing going on in church that says God just shares everything with us, and God is just so, you know, he's just open with us with everything. But that is not scriptural. God says that he speaks to us in a mystery. And the only thing that unlocks that mystery is your hunger and your desire for him. You know, Jesus spoke like this, and you can read it just in the Gospels. Jesus spoke in parables, and sometimes in the natural, he didn't make any sense to those disciples. And then the crowds were there, and everybody, and only those who hung around Jesus found out what those parables meant. Because the disciples said, Lord, what did you mean by this, eating your flesh and drinking your blood? Because many people got offended right there. They walked away. What did you mean by this? And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you, because we walk by faith, not by sight. The one big thing Jesus challenged his disciples on all the time was faith, faith, faith. Do you have faith? And faith is connected to the ability to see spiritually. Is that ability to say, when Jesus calls me, I'm going to walk on water, then I walk on water. That ability when Jesus says, hey, you're going to overcome this fear in your life. And everything inside of you says, no, I've been struggling with it for 10 years. And Jesus says, come. This is my word over your life. Then you need to align yourself with his word. And this is why it says, God hides himself in mysteries many times. And he says, only those who are hungry, who come close enough, they're going to be able to see. And that also means even with our armor that we put on, did you know that the only weapon we have to go on the offense is the sword, but it's a short sword. It's not an arrow. It means you're many times going to get very close to the devil. You're going to smell the devil, and then you need to speak the word of God. You need to release the word of God. Can somebody say amen? But God. It says, but God. Say, but God. So there's a way on this ability to see. It's ability to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I need you, because God has given us a way through the Holy Spirit to see and discern. Discernment just means simply the ability to see, the ability to know. And more than ever as the church, we need the discernment of God, the ability to lock into the spiritual things and to be able to say, God, I deny the flesh. I deny what the world says, because I've seen you. I've known. Now listen to this. In verse 10 still, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except of the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Okay, lots of words. Don't lose us here. But it says, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. So you need to realize in your life, there's a spirit of the world and there's a spirit of Christ and the spirit inside of you. That's the two main spirits in contention for your life. The Holy Spirit that bears witness with your spirit, and then there's the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is motivated by fear, by greed, by lust. You see it when you walk into the shopping mall. Have you seen people smiling when they go with their trolleys? Get out of my way. You know, move out. I'm on a buying spree. Some of you just go like this. Just go like this, okay? Just shake off that consumerism, okay? Ooh, it's tough in this place. But in any case, but he says, when you've come to that place of freedom, you have not received the spirit of the world. When you walk out that door, there's a contention for your life. It's whether you're going to be a spiritual man and a spiritual woman, or whether you're going to walk in the ways of the world. And sometimes, you know, it's so amazing actually just to go a bit out of one's comfort zone, to walk up there in the mountains, and we got to these villages, like nomad shepherds' villages. There's no electricity, nothing. The people still make clothes out of the sheep that they have there, and they live, you know, with all the animals living under in the bottom, and then they live there for 3 months in the snow, just in the house, and just like very, very primitive. But when you're there, you suddenly are confronted with a lot of things. You look up to the mountains, you look at all the stuff around you, and then suddenly you think, what is reality? You're starting to begin to think about your own life and how you rush through life and how busy we are, that we don't see God in the times when He comes and speaks to us. We just, like, you know, Jesus stands and we just walk right past Him. But when you get to those places where you understand that there's a contention, that the world that we live in contends for, and the devil contends for your soul, and especially for the purpose of God in your life. Hello? Especially for what you're busy with, what so sometimes we sit there for hours in front of the television and we don't realize, but there's a contention going on for your life, for your purpose, for where you're going. Are you going to be significant in your life? And this is what it says. Now, we've not received that spirit, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. So he says this, it says, God is this good God, and he has given us so much riches. Later, Paul writes, he says, I've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians, we're going to look at that scripture now, he says, I've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Suddenly, Paul, as he writes and as he continues in his writings, he begins to say, look, I've got an identity and authority, a place with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. And he begins to walk in that revelation knowledge of what God says about him and what God says he must walk in, and the authority that he has in that. And he says, I'm not gonna let this old man of mine determine to me anymore. He doesn't talk about his father. He talks about the old man and the new man. And he says, hey, I realize that there's a contention. But my question to you and I is simply, are you just conforming to the world? Am I just going on because we're going on? Or are we having these moments where we have like at the four-way stop and nobody knows who was there first? He's thinking like, and then everybody drives at the same time. Have you had those moments? Okay. So just be honest. And it's like, awkward, you know. But then the moment everybody stops, then says, okay, let's gonna be friendly, you know. But sometimes you have to like realize, what on earth? What's happening in my life? Because I want to see God. I want to know Him. I want to walk in that place with the Holy Spirit. And it isn't a spooky place, people. It isn't, because some people are so I think it was John G. Lake that wrote it. He says, some people are so spiritually minded that they're of earthly no use. You know? Because they go in the morning and say, oh Lord, oh God, I am so afraid I'm going to miss your will. What color socks should I wear today? Oh, pink. Pink. Yeah. Pink is the third color of the rainbow. And it connects with Revelation chapter 5. Where the angels and the cherubim sing about the seraphim and they connect with the yellow. Wow. Yes, pink is the color of the day. And then you think like, no, pink and brown and blue doesn't fit. Just you choose what color socks you want to wear. You don't need to, there's certain stuff you don't pray about. I mean, except if you're colorblind like I am sometimes, you know. But that's why I married an amazing wife. because I just go to her in the morning and I just stand in front of her. I don't even ask a question anymore. I just stand in front of her. And I look down and then she just goes like. And I come back again. Now we're completely black because I know that fits with each other. It does, Bernard. Black fits with black. Okay, but in any case, so, but you know what? It's so amazing that sometimes we pray for the wrong stuff because we get so desperate because we can't see. We can't see what God is doing. Oh, some people know what the devil is doing all the time. Oh, the devil is on my case. The devil is, and some people know what the world, oh, you know. But the question is, do you know what God is doing? And to be able to know what he's doing, you first need to know who he is. And that's why scripture is so important. He says, so that you can know the things that has been freely given to you. That is God's heart. You know, I for a long, probably the first 5 years that I was saved, even probably more, I really thought that God is not a good God. I really thought that he saved me just to perform. I really thought that. I really thought, like, I need to get all my ducks in a row because God has now saved me. I'm now spirit-filled. I'm going to heaven. But now he's going to give an account of me. Now I need to, you know. But my first revelation wasn't that the Father loves me. My first revelation wasn't that God gives us gifts because he has freely given them to us. So that as we have relationship with him, we have the ability to partake of his divine nature. We're sons, we're daughters, we're not slaves. So guys and ladies, if you are reading your Bible because it's a slave mentality, you need to repent. Because in the moment when we see God as this, oh, you know, then what are we going to do? Every time you're going to read the Bible, you're going to think of what must I change? What must I change instead of God, who are you? It reflects in our relationship. God, who are you? Or God, what must I change? How must I perform? And unfortunately, in our culture in South Africa, we have this thing that drives us. But it many times drives us away from God. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to call, help us to call out, Abba Father, that freedom to say, I'm children of God. Are you still with me? Thank you. Just shake your neighbor and say, hey, I love that smile on your face. You're looking so good. I don't know why you're smiling so much, but it's amazing. The third thing, God calls it revelation knowledge. The ability in Matthew 16, you must go and read it when Jesus stands in front of Peter and he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And then Peter says, well, you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And then God gives him this amazing thing. He says, you're not Simon anymore, you're Peter. I'm going to build my church on revelation knowledge. And it's amazing if you just read on to that story a couple of verses later. When Jesus talks about going to the cross, then Peter is the first one, takes him aside and say, Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. Just Peter confessed Jesus. And the next moment he turns around and says, Jesus, you're definitely not going to go to the cross. And then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You're mindful of the things of man rather than the things of God. And so to be able to walk in revelation knowledge, the ability to see God, the greatest challenge in your life is not the devil, but it is what do people think of you or what does God think of you? If you cannot settle that question, you're going to be in trouble because you're always going to try to define yourself by what people or your circumstances say and not what God says. Don't be mindful of the things of God. We love people and we share our hearts with them and we serve people. But we're always first mindful as God, what are you doing and what are you saying about me? You know, we walked up this, the mountains for a couple, I think it was 5 days up there, like almost 55 kilometers, just hiking up there into the big parts of the Himalayas. And as we're walking this one day, you know, and we really, the altitude was a bit tough at times, but I think it was the second day. As we're walking, now we're walking with stuff, and as I'm walking, every second step, the sweat is dripping from my nose, like dish, dish. And then we're walking out there, and it's hot. It's a miracle in itself, because I just said, thank you, God. Because the government actually closed, the government of India closed the whole valley and all of the nature reserves because they were predicting lots of rain. Like the monsoon was supposed to fall, and they were afraid that there's going to be floods like in 2012 and 2011. And so that's what they predicted, and they closed it. We couldn't even get into the park through a miracle. 9 o'clock the evening, we got in there. As we stopped, there was this one official that was really nasty, and he was just going at us, and we were standing there, and I was just praying. I said, God, I don't know, but you need to bring somebody else, because this guy's giving us lots of trouble, and we're not going to get in here. And so probably 5 minutes after I prayed that, Chuba and I, the pastor, this guy stands up, this official, he says, no, it's 9 o'clock at night. I must go for lunch. Then he turns around and he walks out. I said, thank you, Jesus. Lunch at 9 o'clock. But praise God, you know. And so then we started. And this other guy said, okay, no, you can't go in and all that stuff, you know, and you can't get in with the bus. But you know what? You're going on your own risk. So I'm thinking, like, hallelujah. I can't believe he just said that. You can go on your own risk. I said, we'll take that, sir. So the next moment I tell the guys, get out of the bus. Walk, we're going to go, yeah. And now I know that, you know, there's 12 kilometers ahead of us, and we have all this luggage and all that stuff. And as we get there, there's this guy standing at the other side of the boom. He says, I've got a pickup here. You can load all of your luggage onto the pickup. He was standing on the other side of the boom. It was a guy that we prayed for healing in his back. You can ask Louisa, is it back his side, you know. We prayed for him. He says, I've got a vehicle here. So we were standing there for 2 hours waiting for us just to walk across so they can carry all our luggage. So we loaded all the luggage, and the two guys that didn't feel so well, they needed to look after the luggage. There they go. And now we start our first hike at 12:30. 30 minutes past 12 in the evening. We hike. We say, thank you, Jesus. You just opened the door. But that's not actually the miracle. The miracle is, as we walked, you know, for those 4 days that we hiked, there was not one drop of rain. We had sunshine for 4 days. In all the other valleys, it rained nonstop, except in the valley that we walked. You can go and check it. We checked it with the pastor as we got out. He said it rained nonstop for 7 days. You know, it was only once when we had an outreach that it rained, that we had postponed to the next evening. But for all the other outreaches, and every time we walked, there was no rain. Now, if you don't know what a miracle that is, people. If the government shuts down the whole of the valley, then you know that they're expecting lots of rain. And it's not nice to walk in rain. It's quite slippery. But God did a miracle. But that's not even the story I want to get to. As we were walking up there, you know, now second day, walking with every sweat dropping there, I'll never forget it in my life. As I was walking there, the Holy Spirit said the following to me. God said to me, do you know? I measure every drop that falls from your nose that you make a sacrifice for me, and I will reward you. It changed my life. Because I realized, you know, it's not even about the effort, it's not about the stuff, but every drop as it fell, every prayer as you pray, everything that you do for Christ, He measures it. And He will reward you. I was thinking, God, you're going to judge me. No, no. He says, I love it when you give something to me that costs you something. Some of you are here tonight just because it cost you something. You could have been under your duvet. But listen to this, Ephesians 1 verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He says, I pray this for you. I pray that you'll walk in wisdom, that you'll walk in revelation in the knowledge of Him, of who He is. Then He goes on in verse 18, He says, and I pray this for you, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He says that the eyes of your understanding may open. And then He goes on. Another thing I pray for, He says, is what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the work of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Because this is where Jesus is sitting. He says, there's a couple of things. I pray that God will first open, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that God will open the eyes of your understanding. But in that context where you will see something, and what will you see? You'll see where Jesus is sitting, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who dwells all in all. Sure, it's a big mouthful, eh? Let's go back. So he goes and says, verse 18. Just before that, it says, wisdom and revelation. That God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Put your hand on somebody next to you. Say, Father, I pray that you give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The second thing I pray for him is that the eyes of his understanding will be enlightened. That he might know the hope of your calling and the riches of your glory and the exceeding greatness of your power towards us. Sure, powerful words. It's powerful when you pray scripture over each other. You know, somebody asked me, I think it was actually you, he asked me the other day, he said, you know, is there like, does God answer all prayers? God listens to all prayer. Doesn't matter whether it's good or if it sounds good or not. If it's from the heart, God listens to those prayers. But you know what? When it comes to seeing the kingdom of God come, there's some prayers that are very effective. There's some prayers that are spot on. And what are those prayers that are according to his will? Those prayers that we pray because we hit the target every time. And one of the most powerful prayers like that is when we pray scripture into being. There's a guy, Eugene, who's, I think, his second year in Eendracht. You know what? He shared a vision with us, or he sent it to us as we were up there in the mountains, because he didn't know where we were. But he had a vision. He said, I prayed and I saw all these things. I saw the crows hanging around you and I saw the eagles. Do you know when he sent that word through? Was on the day when we saw the crows all around in the village and the day when we saw three eagles flying above us and we're just looking at these three eagles. I'm thinking like, God, exactly. Somebody sitting in Gauteng praying and his eyes were open to see. He could speak God's word into a situation. How many kilometers away? And my question tonight is, as we're going to end off, because you look very enthusiastically intense, as we're going to end off with the introduction part of the sermon, then the question is simply is, what are the limitations that you and I are putting on God because of our lack of sight? You see, if you're blind, it's very difficult to walk because you have to feel your way. But when you can see and when God has opened up, and that's why in Revelation, probably the biggest invitation God gives is, he says, come, I want to anoint your eyes to see. I want to give you that ability to know. I want you to be prophetically inclined. And some of you need to pray this prayer. You need to say, God, make me like a son of Issachar. Say, son of Issachar. They were a group of people in the Old Testament that could discern the times and the seasons. You know, it's people that knew exactly what God was doing and they could see what God was doing. They knew also the season that the church is in. The church is under a massive attack spiritually to conform to the world. Whether it is through immorality, whether it is through whatever types of sins, there are so many big leaders at the moment either walking away from their obligation in covenant, or some other leaders that are just standing up and saying, no, the scripture doesn't say the real stuff anymore, whether it's about adultery or homosexuality or da 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 da, whatever. You know, it was just sort of a figment of our imagination. It's all been changed. And then you think, like, every time when the church came to that place, there was either great revival or great destruction and persecution. Because we need to walk on the word. But the exciting part is when you stand up there and you stand in the Himalayas or you preach the gospel, it's the same gospel. And it has the same effect. You saw the healings tonight. Still, Jesus heals still the same. Whether you change your mind or whether you don't, God really, He's still the healer. He still heals masses of people. He still raises the dead. It's still the same. Jesus is still the same. He has not changed one bit because He cannot change. But who has changed? We have. Because we've adopted to culture and the spirit of the world. But there comes a place where you and I say, God, I'm so hungry for you. God, I want you to unlock the mysteries. I want to see. I want to be in step with the seasons that I'm not thrown by my circumstances and whatever the devil throws at me. I'm not thrown by that. I'm moved by the Spirit because I know what you've freely given me. I know what I have access to. And that's whether I have lots in the natural or whether I have nothing in the natural. It doesn't determine who I am. I know Christ. I've seen. I know. Will you stand with me tonight as we're going to pray? Because tonight we're going to pray a very, very simple prayer. There are some of us yet tonight that we need to deny the spirit of the world and we need to say no to it because you don't even know that there's an attack on your life. You just think you're weak and you're always giving in and all that stuff. But there's an attack on your life, and that attack on your life is very simply against one thing. It's the ability to walk in the Spirit. It's the ability to keep in step with the Spirit. Whether it's busyness, whether it's consumer stuff in the world, whatever it is, there's so many stuff trying to draw us away from seeing Christ. And that's why Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and went to sit at the right hand of the Father. You need to look at Jesus, but he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's not waiting for us to get ready. He's actively interceding for you. He's actively watching over you. When you sleep, when you breathe, whatever you do, he says, come. Come, all who are thirsty, all who are, come. Come buy even with money that you don't have. Come so that I can anoint your eyes to see. That you don't look through the eyes of fear. You don't look through the eyes of what your parents said over you or what your friend says over you, that you're nobody and you'll never amount to anything. You don't look through those eyes anymore. You've seen him. You've seen that the Father loves you and that he's freely given you. Then you've seen the hope of your calling, the ability to say, God, my greatest desire is not just to see you, but to make others see you. To walk in that place. That's what Paul says, pray for the unbelievers. Pray for the people around there because they are blind. The spirit of the world is over them. And then you say, God, I want them to see. I want them to know. Then you know suddenly that there's a mandate over your life. Suddenly that you know that You're not staying here. Sir, don't be a settler. Your home is not here if you're a Christian. Your home is not here. If you for one moment think your home is here, you're deceived. I'm deceived. We're walking. We're just pilgrims passing through. We're just on a journey. Say, God, the hope of my calling, because I've seen you. You've opened my eyes. I'm not blind anymore. And then it doesn't matter if the stock market falls or this falls. You're not panicking because you realize you've seen. You've walked in that place. There's some of you that need to come to God tonight because you are trying too hard. You're trying too hard to get something that God has already given you. You just need first to learn to receive it. And how do you receive it? You thank God. You thank God. Some of us think like, oh, what's the 10 steps? What's the 5 rules? How am I going to see better? No. You just thank him for what he's already said. He says, eyes have not seen nor ear have heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So I just go and stand and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Through the eyes of faith, I can see this campus worship you. Every street corner, I can see it. I can see young people over this nation on their knees worshiping you, repenting. Wave upon wave of repentance. I can see it. I can tell you lots of stuff that I'm seeing. Say, God, it's happening. Thank you, Jesus. You died for that. But what do you see? What's the stuff that makes you excited? Because if you see that thing, you're like, wow. I want to pray for people that feel a bit blind tonight. You've lost your way. You're surviving. Or you're trying too hard. If that's you tonight, I want you to come out to the front, because we're going to just do something very prophetic of your life. We're going to take some oil and we're going to put it on you. And we're going to say, Father, let him see, let her see. And that moment when you just say thank you, and all you need to do is just start to thank God. You just need to say, maybe you're spiritually dead and you don't know Jesus, you don't know the real Jesus, then you also need to come to the front. Because that's that moment when he stands in front of you and he says, you stand in front of the cross. You realize I was supposed to hang there. He died for me. He took my place. Not the masses, not the world, my place. I was the middle sinner. I was supposed to hang there. And Jesus says, Father, forgive her. She doesn't know what she's doing. That moment when the great exchange happens of forgiveness and freedom and the love of the Father. I want everybody to close their eyes for a moment. Thank you, God, that you're in this place. We don't even need to invite you here. We just need to recognize that you are here. Lord, and tonight it's not about on how many mission trips we've gone or how many miracles we've seen. It's just very simply, have we seen Christ? Have we seen? Lord, I pray for people that are going through a tough time that are just in survival mode, Lord, because we don't know where we're going and we're asking. Lord, there's some people asking questions about their future. So God, is there really a calling? Is there, Lord, lots of questions about their future? But I pray, God, that you won't show them that. You pray first you'll show them your heart and who you are before what you want to do through them. Otherwise, we're going to miss the point, God. We're going to miss you and do a lot of things but miss you. I pray, God, for those who are in a season of frustration, those who are fighting, Lord. There's some people that feel like they're in a boxing match and I don't know who they're boxing against. If that's you specifically, if you feel like, whoa, you're so tired because you're hitting a lot of stuff, but you're missing all the time, you don't even know who your opponents are at the moment, I want you to come and stand here on my right-hand side. But I want those people, there's about 7 or 8 of you. You're very tired, and the Lord just showed me a picture of how you're in a boxing match, and you are like hitting a lot, but you are missing all the time. You don't even know who you're fighting against. Sometimes it feels you're fighting against yourself. The Lord wants to set you free. If that's you, I want you to come out quickly. Just walk out from where you are. Come and stand in front. Don't be shy. Because we're going to pray God's peace over your life. Come and stand here. Maybe there's more than 8 or 9 people, but I felt specifically there's a couple of people God wants to just release his peace over your life, because you're fighting, you're hitting. Then there's some other people you're struggling to see. You're struggling to walk in that place of just, oh, you know. We need to pray for you. I want you to come to this side quickly. Come. If God is speaking to you tonight, just about your future, about where you're going. We're not going to pray fancy prayers. It's firstly about seeing God. The Son only does what he sees the Father do. Then there's some people here that are on, you've got a call to pray. You've got a call to pray. And the Lord showed me a specific picture for you. You've got a call to be a watchman and to be an intercessor. But it's like there was a door and you try to walk through the door, but there was like spider webs. And you got trapped in the spider webs. You are struggling to get through. And it's that there's like this thing on your life. It's a demonic thing that is withholding you from interceding and praying. You know that there's a call on your life, but you've become quiet because there's all those spider webs that you need to get through. If that's you, I want you to come out quickly. I want you to come and stand here in the middle because we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God will give you strength just to break through that thing, that season in your life. I want you to come quickly. So what we're going to do is we're going to take oil. We're going to just first worship God. Is that all right, Richard? And we're going to start to thank God because I really believe thanksgiving of what God has already given you is the key. Start with thanksgiving. Start with that just saying, Father, I thank you that what Scripture says about me and what you have promised for me is the truth. So I freely receive it. I freely receive it. Even if nothing manifests or I don't feel like it or whatever, you need to receive it. You need to receive what God says. And it's the most amazing free place where you come into is that place of worship, that place of truth, that place of like, wow. So that's what we're going to start to do. Some of you that are struggling about your food, I really feel there's some people that are like, whoa, there's a battle going on for your spirit at the moment. There's a battle going on for your life. So Father, as we come to you right now, lift the veils. We pray that you lift the veils. Strengthen. Lord, I call out people's spirit man and spirit woman at this moment. That we won't try to discern according to the flesh, but we'll discern according to what we see in the spirit. So I want you to start to thank God. I want you to start to thank God. If you're sick in your body, I want you to come right to the front because we're going to pray. I really felt God wants to heal people physically tonight. There's somebody with intense shoulder pains in your left shoulder, and the Lord wants to heal you. But humble yourself and hey, let's pray for each other because Jesus still heals. There's also somebody with knee problems in both of your knees that the Lord wants to heal. There's also a lady here that gets migraines here from the back of your neck, here the bottom of your neck. And at the moment, you have got it like a stiff neck, okay? You're like tense. There's not just one person, but a couple of people. If you need healing, I want you to come and stand over here. I want some facilitators to come and pray for people here in front. Come Pierre, come Louisa, all of you that were on mission, some small group leaders. I want you guys to come and pray here for people. I want you just to tell them what's wrong, and then I want you to pray for sick people, okay? Because you experience God. Come. All of you, we're going to start to pray. The rest of us, let's just start to give thanks. If you're standing there, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to thank God for what He's given you. Not just forgiveness, but thank Him for the gifts on your life. Thank Him for the fact that He has made you a blessing, that He's placed you in this beautiful place with these beautiful mountains. There's so much that we can be thankful for.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.